7:08, so we're going to call the meeting officially to order now, and we are going to start off with the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, as one nation, under God,
indivisible,
and justice for all. Thank you. So I am going to move to the reading of the meeting notice. This meeting is being conducted in compliance with the open meeting session that the Verona Board of Education passed a resolution at its annual reorganization meeting held on January 7, 2020. The meeting set forth the schedule of its regular meetings, which resolution was within 7 days of passage. The schedule was sent to the Verona Cedar Grove Times, the Star Ledger, the Herald News, Township of Verona, and the VEA. Postings of this meeting setting forth the time, location, and agenda were posted in each of Verona's 6 schools, board office, and town hall. This posting was also sent to the above newspapers, all SDA presidents and SDA liaisons. The Verona Board of Education operates under a consent agenda format. Any board member has the right to have an item pulled to be voted upon or discussed separately. Copies of tonight's agenda and resolutions have been made available to the public and press. And Mr. Turner, we're going to do the roll call for attendance.
Mr. Allworth.
Here.
Mrs. Strappi.
Here.
Mr. Day.
Here.
Mrs. Prisco.
Here.
And Mrs. Freshy.
I'm here. Thank you.
We have a call.
Excellent. And then we are going to move to the public comments, which are on agenda items only. And Dr. Dionisio will allow the public a moment to speak on that. And it's agenda items only.
So at this time for public comments on agenda items only, once I initiate the conference call to go into the Q&A session, anybody from the public who wishes to speak on agenda items can follow the prompts on their phone. The operator will state to star 6, then followed by the number 1, and that will allow the person to then go in the queue and then state their name and address and then make comment or ask a question. Okay.
So there was no public comments on agenda items. So the next portion of our agenda is Dr. Dionisio and his superintendent report. So I'll turn that over.
Great. Thank you very much, Mrs. Freschi. So at this time, I'd just like to provide just 2 quick updates before I get into a presentation that is going to provide an update to the board and to the public on the current status of the budget for next year, the 2020-2021 school year. Before I get to that, I will just state that for the public, this presentation is listed on the veronaschools.org website. If you were to visit the website at this time, The presentation is located. It's the first link right under announcements on the center of the page. And click on that link, and the presentation is located there, and I'll get to that shortly. Prior to discussing the budget, though, I would just like to just give a few updates, two brief updates on some other items. One, naturally, is the current status of coronavirus public health situation that we are all dealing with, and I'd just like to reiterate my gratitude to the board for all of their support to allow us to continue to support our kids and our staff, our students and our staff in the community and our parents. Everybody's been working extremely well together. This is certainly a challenging time, but the fact that everybody is pulling through together and working very cohesively makes it that much easier to be successful. So I thank the Board of Ed, I thank our teachers and administrators, and definitely our kids and our parents for their resilience and for all of their support. We just naturally returned from spring break, and that was a well-deserved reprieve for our definitely our staff members to just recharge the battery, as we're in this longer than any of us would hope for. And school is closed indefinitely right now, pending the outcome of what happens in the coming weeks and months. But as it looks, we're still going to be out of school for quite a long time. Yesterday was the first day back, and there were some changes that were initiated that we announced just a few weeks ago. After taking feedback from our staff, our students, and our parents, regarding the schedule, always looking for ways that we could improve the schedule and the situation, learning remotely through virtual learning. We did shift VHS and HBW to an A-B rotation. Yesterday was an A day, which essentially means all of the morning classes met for about 50 minutes instead of a half hour. And today is a B day, which means the afternoon classes for students met for about 50 minutes instead of the half hour. Tomorrow is a flex day, and then Thursday, Friday goes back to an A day and then a B day on Friday. So feedback right now seems to be pretty good. Tried to take all of the input that we were getting to see if we can make the teaching and learning a little bit more, even more meaningful, going a little bit deeper, and just trying to pace assignments for our students and the planning for our staff. So we'll continue with this for the foreseeable future, and the hope is that it's an improvement to the prior schedule. Another thing that I'd like to share with the public that we are working on and have been planning for a number of weeks, but have not spoken to publicly in light of just making sure we understood where the direction of this public health situation was going, is we started really reflecting as an administrative team and with some of our staff members regards to what do the end of year celebrations look like. Most notably, what does the graduation commencement ceremony at Verona High School look like? So that's something that we have been examining, we'll continue to examine, and we are getting feedback from stakeholders. The public can expect that we will be reaching out to students to get insight and input from them as well as parents. And we want to just see what the weeks ahead of us start to look like, and if a normal graduation is possible, and if not, then what's the best alternative that we can make sure that once-in-a-lifetime experience for our Verona High School seniors is one that's special and memorable. So we'll continue with that work, and we'll be communicating with the public in the coming days and weeks to just make sure that we're hearing from everyone as we develop the best plan and the best way forward on that. Any questions on those two items before I move on?
No.
Nope.
All right. I will also state that before we get into it, and I know that there are going to be some committee reports later on, but there is a resolution on for referendum acceptance of a bid this evening, and I'll let the committee speak to that, but I just would like to say that as far as that awarding of that contract, that that is under budget, which is one of the most important things, naturally, that we want to make sure about. And now I will shift over to our budget presentation. That should have allotted enough time for members of the public to go onto our website to access the presentation. I am now on slide, slide two, which is dated April 14, 2020. And I will state that Mr. Turner and I will be doing another budget presentation on at the next board meeting on April 28th. And that will have detail on all of the financials that Mr. Turner is finalizing. We did approve the preliminary budget at the March 19th meeting. That was Thursday, March 19th, 2020. We did successfully submit that online. Mr. Turner did that a few weeks ago. And we will be providing that update with those financials as we fine-tune the presentation. But we always want to, for the past few years, make sure that we're communicating as much as possible in advance, just to give some insight to not only the board as a whole, but to the public, to give an indication of, you know, what did this process look like, and what does it look like moving forward for next year? What can we expect? So now moving on to slide number three, the heading there is budget timeline, and this just provides an overview of what does the past 6 to 8 months look like. So each year, you know, we start off school in September, we get everybody acclimated at the school level and at central office, and by the end of September, beginning of October, at central office, the district level, my office starts to work with the business office in planning this budget timeline so we can make sure that we hit our benchmarks. And you see that by November, we want our administrative team members, the department heads, the supervisors, the directors, our principals, to make sure that they are reflecting on what their budgetary needs are. We're starting to have conversations of what does the subsequent year's needs potentially look like. By December, they submit their budgets to my office and to the business office, so we have time to review over the December break and through December and into January. And then the heavy lifting is between January and March and even into April, where we do a lot. We have a lot of meetings. We're analyzing our enrollment projections, our class sizes, seeing where we can continue to make improvements, and always the goal is to maintain our existing programs and then be able to see, are there places where we could potentially continue to improve and make modifications where appropriate and where necessary. You see March 19th as the preliminary budget approval, and then April 28th is when we will have the formal final budget presentation and the formal adoption of the budget. And then we always add in how many school board election seats are up each year, each November. And this year of 2020, we have one seat that is up. Moving to slide number four, we want to make sure that we consistently revisit where the challenges are as we build a budget. It's there are a lot of competing needs and demands from stakeholder groups in every community, and it makes it challenging in order to be able to build a budget that addresses everyone's needs. We'd love nothing more than to be able to give everybody everything that they want, but unfortunately, with budget constraints, that's just impossible. So we have to really prioritize what our needs are, where our resources are, and then allocate the funding in a very fiscally responsible manner. But some of those budget constraints that date back to specifically this big driver right here, number one, dates back to 2010. And that's the 2% cap on tax levy that was imposed. So that really slows growth, which is a responsible way to the taxpayer, but definitely imposes a lot of challenges in running a school budget, especially for a school district like Verona that has already been operating very lean and fiscally responsible for a number of years. So it makes it prohibitive for us to increase our operating budget. You see bullet number three there. Verona has experienced a reduction in state aid amounts as well, because there was a cut to state aid on top of the 2% cap to the tax levy. And Verona, dating back to 2011, experienced over $6 million in state aid loss. So for a number of years, it made it very, very difficult for us, not only to try to be able to grow programs and staffing, but at the same time, having a real challenging time of just being able to maintain what we already had built. So we definitely had some bumps in the road along the way. The local school budget is funded in Verona, 95% to the local taxpayer. That varies based on socioeconomic group and how much state aid comes into each municipality, into each school budget. And the increased enrollment due to potential housing development expansion, primarily we've talked about lots of development that's been going on in nearby communities, and also in Verona has had its own fair share and will continue to have that. And specifically, we have to keep our eye on the pilot funding or the lack thereof. That's going to be a challenge as well, especially if the enrollment grows and how that will impact our class sizes, especially at the elementary schools, and will we have to split classes, and there are pretty exorbitant costs that come along with that. Moving on to slide number five, the heading there is entitled Budget Variables. We really talk about here, you know, what are some of the things that we've done that or we've been beneficiaries of through our efforts in order to be able to leverage the dollar. You know, how can we stretch the dollar in Verona as much as possible so our students benefit and the taxpayer benefits and the school district as a whole benefits. So dating back about 6 years ago, we started, we shifted away from doing one-time lump sum technology purchases to financing line items in our operating budget. It gave us a lot more flexibility in order to be able to not only buy more technology up front, but pay for it over a three-year time span, which was, it's a lease finance option where we own the items at the end. But it also allowed us to budget accordingly these line items. So we knew that after that finance was over in 3 years' time, that we had that money to be able to go to and roll into new technology purchases, or in a really tough budget cut year, if we were faced with such a challenge, that we can repurpose that funding elsewhere if we needed to. So that was an option. So that's helped us immensely. The second bullet there is we've worked on our special education cost increases. When we hired Mr. Moriello about 5 years ago, one of the big areas of focus that we had was to make sure that we started taking a look at our programs in the middle school and the high school, and making sure that we had vertical articulation from the elementary to the middle and to the high school. And we had very, very strong programs for special education in the elementary school, as well as the middle school and high school, but we saw some needs that we could provide some programming at HBW and at VHS to be able to support our students that would be aging up into those schools and to keep those children here in our school district, which is a benefit to our students, not only our special education students, but our general education students, and to our community as a whole. And certainly It's the fiscally responsible thing to do. As a result of that, we've started to see the downward trend, not only in the number of children that are out of district, and out-of-district placements are definitely still appropriate for specific children where their needs are best met in a different setting. But there are a number of students that we could educate here in Verona, and that served us very well and the families very well. And we're seeing an improvement with our fiscal responsibility in that department. So we're very pleased with that. Some other budget variables, we have staffing retirements post-budget that occur every year. That helps us out in the budget. Retirements of any sort helps us out financially. Doesn't always help us out as far as experience goes, because we lose the wealth of knowledge. And then we are able to hire new staff members that naturally will typically have less experience, but will come with a different skill set that they bring to the table. And it does help us financially in that department. In prior years, we had staffing reductions and consolidation. I'm happy to report we won't have any of that this year for the second year in a row. We've had increases in additional state aid. We had it last year. We even had it post striking and approving the formal budget in April. This year, we also have an increase in state aid of a little north of $280,000 more in our state aid number this year. So we're very pleased with that from Trenton, getting us back up to a number closer to where we should be. We're not quite there yet, but the trend line has been positive for us for the past 2 years at least. We have spent a lot of time streamlining our efficiencies and really looking at how we're spending our money within our operating budget, and where we can be frugal in some areas and creative in others, reallocating funding for new initiatives. Also very happy with the trend line with our lower healthcare premium increases. Typically, our healthcare cost increases for us, a healthy number that we've been happy with is between 7 and 9%. I know that sounds a little insane to even say that we're happy within 7 and 9% increases, but compared to some other districts, they were seeing 12, 15% increases or more. We have a very healthy, very low increase percentage this year of a 2.5% increase. So we're very, very happy with that going into 2020-21 budget school year. So the budget progress update. So the next three slides are the meat and potatoes of what does our budget look like? What does our budget buy us as a school district going into next year? So for one, the most important thing is there will be no budget cuts, no staffing cuts, no programming cuts. So we are able to maintain all of our current and existing staff. And I will update that bullet point as well. It also maintains all of our current programs. There are no cuts to our programs. What it also allows us to do is it allows us to add a new Verona High School math teacher and a new Verona High School special education teacher. This is primarily not a whole purchase of additional teachers, salary and benefits. These two bullets here are a combination of the fact that we currently have people teaching these sections, but they're being taught by teachers who are being paid six period stipends. We just, in the middle of the year, and it was in August and September when we had some resignations and we had to fill these positions, and we did not have any qualified candidates that we could hire at that time, so we had to stipend the positions out. Being that it's the spring, this is the time to go and hire these positions. So our administrative team is actively recruiting and hiring for these two spots. These positions will more or less stay fairly budget neutral with what we're currently paying in stipends to what we will actually be paying in teachers starting off on the lower end of the salary guide for us. Moving on to bullet number four, we will be increasing the number of hours for our counselors at Verona High School for a number of different reasons. Primarily, our counselors need a little bit more time with the scheduling piece to make sure that the needs of our students are being met. They just cannot do that with only 5 days throughout the summer. There's just too many demands on their time, and they cannot accomplish everything. Another part of this is because we're anticipating beginning school on September 14th, and typically our counselors start writing letters of recommendation when we start school at the beginning of September. And there's a lot that goes into what they have to coordinate, not only with letters of recommendation, but getting college applications and all of that work with our seniors completed. And they're going to need more time for that. Otherwise, it's just not fair to have our seniors delayed with that process that's time sensitive to begin on September 14th. So we have some more time built in there. It's a nominal cost. The last bullet on slide six is the addition of a new kindergarten teacher at the elementary schools. Right now, our enrollment at Brookdale Avenue School, it fluctuates from year to year. We have no hard and fast line as to where we typically split a class, but we do take a look at a lot of different factors. We historically have split classes when it gets above 25 students. We have about 30 or 32 children, I believe it is, at Brookdale Avenue School enrolled right now. So we obviously need two teachers there. And those numbers ping up and down from year to year. As of right now, we don't have any other demands on kindergarten or additional sections. So that's a new additional class section that will be needed for next school year. And actually, we have that a resolution on this evening for the approval of that teacher that we will be recommending for approval this evening for approval. Moving on to slide number seven, continuing with what does this budget build for us. But bullet number one is increasing our ACE elementary counselor from part-time to full-time. As you remember, with the initiative, with the work that our district has been doing with towards mental health, the ACE elementary counselor, we reallocated funds from the high school and the middle school a few years back and repurposed that to the elementary school to enhance our counseling and add counseling down there. The budget only permitted us to do it at a part-time level to help Mrs. Lustig. And we've been very pleased with the position and with the progress there. And we're going to be increasing this position to full-time next year. And that will allow our Mrs. Lustig and Mrs. King to both continue to work very well together and split their time between the four elementary schools and give us the much-needed support at that level that will complement and build a strong foundation for our children moving into HBW and at VHS. And as you'll remember through the second question, we are a little over a year now with Effective School Solutions providing the mental health counseling and supports at the middle school and the high school level, and we're pleased with the progress there as well. The second bullet, we're going to be increasing. This was a new position for this year. For next year, we're going to be increasing this part-time position for the HIB school safety specialist. This is a district position. It's one of our counselors, moving that person from part-time to full-time. This was another welcome addition. We tried it this year. We've been not only very pleased with this new job description, this role, and how it streamlined the investigations and the communication and the programming and the supports for our students and for our schools. But also, we are very pleased with the staff member that we have. Mrs. McFadden's been doing a tremendous job, brings her expertise to our team, and we see this role as one that is being grown now to full-time status, and the budget permits that to happen. And then the last point on this slide number seven is restoring and rebuilding, I should say, are school-based budgets and the curriculum instruction and assessment budgets, adding an increase of 7.5% to those budgets for next year. So if you remember back in 2018 when we had those tough budget cuts, we had to scale back our school-based budgets as well and the curriculum budget, which took a massive hit. So we want to start rebuilding those back up. We have the allocation there. It's based on the school's existing baseline budget. So it does vary from school to school. It's 7.5% of their base budget. Just to give you an idea, like a school like Brookdale would get an additional $2,700. FN Brown would get an additional $4,600. Forest and Lanning would be similar to that as well. HBW and VHS a little bit more because it's relative to the enrollment at each school. So, and the curriculum budget would get an increase of $6,000. So it's not huge dollars, but it's dollars that incrementally gets us back to where, you know, we want to make sure that our principals and our directors and supervisors have the resources necessary that trickle down to our staff and to our students. And then the last slide that I have for tonight is two more bullet points. These are really structured around stipends. So the first one is VMAC, which is our Verona Municipal Alliance, has done a great job with grants from the state and from the county, supporting programs for the municipality and for our schools. We're really indebted to them for their support, not only financially, but their ideas and their collaboration, which allow us to be successful for our kids. Unfortunately, they've also had some challenges with the budget. They were informed a few months ago that they will be seeing a reduction in their grants that they receive. A lot of municipalities have seen these reductions, a lot of municipal alliances have seen these reductions. So I met with VMAC, and they've reconfigured their budget, and I know that they've been working with Mr. Cavallo, our town manager as well, and he's working with them to maintain programs on the municipality side of things. And on the school side of things, we were trying to be creative as to what are the things that we can, you know, reallocate, and what are the things that maybe are posing more of a challenge and we want to maintain, but VMAC just doesn't have the funding for it. So in that sense, the HBW Dream Team Club is one of those areas where VMAC just didn't have the money. It's $3,400. It comprises supplies, about $400, and then two stipends of $1,500 each for our advisors for the year. So I've agreed to build that into the budget. The money in the budget can support that. And it's something that's already in our collective bargaining agreement with our the Verona Education Association. And this allows us to continue to maintain this important program at the middle school. And now the district will be absorbing that cost in order to make sure that we continue to maintain it. And then there are other things that VMAC and I discussed, and there are areas where we've cut back, where we felt like there were other areas that we could scale some things back without an impact to students and to our staff. But this was one of the areas that we really didn't want to touch because we feel that it's important. And then last but not least, we Mr. Turner and I have worked, and Mr. Balaj, who's been doing a lot of the spreadsheets and EduMed inputting, and we're indebted to him for that and to Mr. Turner for his efforts on the budget this year, where we have now added, we've allocated some funding. We're still fine-tuning all of the details on job descriptions for these positions and stipend amounts, and that will come in the coming weeks and months. We naturally, from a human resource standpoint, would have to post these positions. Many of these positions, if not all of them, will go to staff members that are already here on staff in Verona with the Verona Board of Ed. But we have needs in the district that exceed the staffing that we have. And we need to create positions where our staff members that we currently have on our team can carry out this work beyond their scope of responsibilities during the course of the day, and that they're compensated accordingly. This is also an effective means to being able to control costs rather than hiring additional staff members that would cost tens and tens of thousands of dollars for us. Stipends typically tend to be an effective way of keeping costs down and getting the job done. An easy one is strength and conditioning coach position. We expanded that a few years ago. That's Mrs. Shanley at the high school. That's grown immensely. And the need and the demand for that now has exceeded Mrs. Shanley's ability. There's only one Mrs. Shanley. We need to add another one. So we need to add another position there. So naturally, we have to allocate resources for that. A residency officer is something that comes up multiple times a year, if not monthly. There's just a lot of work that needs to be done there with re-registration and also with following up on residency concerns that come across. So we've built that in. We're looking at the addition of a mental health coordinator as our mental health programming continues to increase and expand, making sure that we have enough people that are going to be able to manage all of the moving parts so nothing falls through the cracks and we do a good job of maintaining all of our existing programming and all of the necessary communication. The extended school year is our special education programming in the summer for our special education students, a coordinator who can oversee that during those summer months, and then a 504 coordinator. So these are some of the positions that our team has proposed in areas that can continue to allow us to expand and improve. There may be others. It would all have to be budget permitting. So Mr. Turner and I have allocated some resources for that. And we'll fine-tune those job responsibilities and discuss those with the Board of Education as we move forward and before we finalize anything. And that's all for my presentation. Now moving on to slide number 9. That is our next board meeting. We'll have our formal budget meeting where Mr. Turner and I will both speak to a lot of what you've heard tonight, which we'll go over again in a little bit more cursory overview at that point, but really dive more into the nuts and bolts of the finances at that April 28th meeting. Mr. Turner, is there anything that you'd like to add to this presentation tonight?
No, just as a further update, that once the budget is adopted, then it is our requirement then to file the certification of taxes, not only with the local municipality, but also with the county office and with state agencies as well, too. And that has to be filed as of May 15th. So as soon as the budget is adopted and set and ready to go, we'll put all the necessary papers together in order to be able to file those so that we're doing that in a timely fashion as well. So that's the only thing I have to add right now. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. And I'm not sure. I may have mentioned this. I may have not. But this budget is obviously within the 2% cap. It is at 2%. We feel like it's a very responsible and thoughtful budget. And, there are a lot of people that had a part in this, Mr. Turner, Mr. Balaj, for sure. So I thank them for their support and their efforts. We've spent a lot of time, the three of us, really going through line by line, making sure that we're examining every corner of the budget. And I also would like to thank all of our administrators who had a huge part to play in it as well and giving us their feedback. So that way we could prioritize things and make the best decisions possible in the best interest of our district. Does anybody on the board have any questions regarding the budget presentation?
I just wanted to say, Dr. Nisio, that I appreciate Mr. Turner and Mr. Balaj and the folks you had mentioned, the administration and yourself, for all the time and energy spent on this. I know it's a challenge every year to, control the costs, yet add some additional services. So I was happy to see they were able to add some additional teaching positions, and make some counselors full-time. I think that's what we're trying to do. And again, trying to maximize our budget best we can and stay within the cap. So I want to thank you guys for working hard and doing it even in social distancing and trying to get this done so we can present this.
I agree with Jim. Thank you very much.
Yeah, and I'm going to echo Pam and Jim's sentiments as well, because it's a tough thing to do. We've had a lot of challenges this past school year, to say the least. And just to be able to come in at that 2%, to be adding some of those tough cuts, Dr. Dionisio, that you spoke about in the curriculum internal budgets, for them to be getting, you know, that percentage increase and bring those budgets back up, and the dream team, and like Jim mentioned, adding teachers, because it's very, very student-centric, as it should be, and it's just like a lot of positive things in a really challenging year. So thank you, everybody, for all that work that went into this. Very good.
Yeah.
It's impressive.
Thank you. Thank you. And that's all I have for the superintendent report then tonight, if nobody else has any questions, and on this budget presentation.
Thank you. Thank you.
Great. So then we did have a lot of committee meetings this week. I think all the committees met. So we are going to start with Mr. Day and Mrs. Prisco with athletics and co-curricular.
Okay. Jim, you want me to report? You got it? So we met with Mr. Merkler the other day, and just two quick things that he discussed with us is that the NJSIAA released a statement, and again, this all is going back on if schools should open. It's at the mercy of the state and everything of what's going on, but they would extend the spring seasons to June 30th, but not beyond. And if the season should resume by May 25th, there would be a modified sectional tournament that they would do. So again, that all depends if schools even return back, and they would do that prior to May 25th. And also, our coaches for all sports are meeting with their players. They meet through Google Hangouts. They check in with them weekly. And they also have them doing, you know, some online workouts and keeping them, you know, in shape with the hopes that maybe the season will continue. And I think that's all I have. Jim, you have anything to add?
I just want to say thanks to the coaches. I know they've been reaching out to the players and trying to, you know, give them some activities they can do to stay in shape and you know, just keep their bodies moving, and their, you know, along with their minds, you know, being educated. And a lot of the, I know they're doing the phys ed classes, they're providing them some information about that too. But I think it's good to keep the coaches involved with the students, and I want to thank them for that. And there were no games and there were no field trips, so that's the extent of our report for this this
that's
week.
That's it.
That's all she wrote. Does anybody have any questions on athletics? If not, we'll move into the Education Committee report, and that's Mr. Allworth and Mrs. Drappy.
Sure. Sorry, you want me to do it?
Yeah, I can take it. You want to do it, or you want me to do it?
I'm doing finance, so why don't you do it?
Okay. We met with Dr. Dionisio, Dr. Miller, and Mr. Moriello, and you know, I think I can speak for Tim when, you know, we thank Dr. Miller and Mr. Moriello for their consistent work with the administrators and staff in the district and remaining very flexible in listening to student and parent concerns regarding remote learning and consistently making changes as needed and making sure that the teachers feel, you know, completely supported in what they're doing from their own homes for our students. So, you know, we thank you for your work on that. And you know, thank you again to our students and our parents for your flexibility as well and your commitment to learning from your home, which, you know, we know is not easy, to say the least, is a tremendous understatement. Regarding AP courses and AP exam, there is work currently being done on looking at the 2019-2020 exam administration and discussing the online exams to be taken at home. There is a link that I believe is available on our website to access more information on that. I'm trying to see what else. Oh, I found this really great. Our STEM initiative at HB, Mrs. Zimbrano and Mrs. Hamilton and Mrs. Lissardo created an HBW e-learning enrichment kind of station, remote station, for our students. And I just thought that that was really cool. Everything that they're doing on there is really at the forefront of remote learning. And it's really, it's not being done anywhere else. It's something really to behold. And as we continue, the administrative team is awaiting further instructions from the NJDOE on what is to be done for second round of observations for tenured staff and third round observations for non-tenured staff. No communication has been released on that yet. And I think that's about it. We talked about the staff changes as well. Anything else, Jim, that I missed?
No, I think just we also talked about there was that link on the website that had all of the updates that they're continuing to update with all the COVID-19 information and how it relates to the school and what the school is doing. So if anyone's not sure of what's going on, there's a link right on the district website.
Oh, right. Thanks, Tim.
Sure.
Are there any questions from any other board members in regard to the
No.
No. Okay, so then we're going to move on to the Buildings and Grounds, the Facilities Committee. Mr. Day and I and Dr. Dionisio met this week. Jim, do you want to take that? Or?
Yeah, I can run with that, and you can fill in as needed. So even though schools are closed, we're still open for business and working through the referendum project. Some bids that will be we had put it on some bids last week, and this week we actually have some bids that will be coming in on Wednesday. We're waiting for the asbestos abatement bid. I think there's a food service one, too. I think Mr. Turner said that. And later this week, we're waiting for bids for the VHS locker room, the training room, the gym floor, the middle school locker rooms, and the stage rigging. And then we're also working on the playgrounds bids for their not bids, but working on playground options based off the project that we have in mind. So we should have a lot of information about our budget. As Dr. Nisio said, we've been receiving bids, fair bids that we've been happy with so far. So hopefully we'll get some good bids that will stay in our budget. We'll continue to move forward with this referendum. I know one of the items we'll be voting on today is regarding HVAC. We do have a bid for HVAC for a few bids for the VHS high school HVAC system. And we also have on the agenda tonight, or the resolution about HVAC rebids for HBW and the elementary schools. I believe we did not get any bids, so we need to rebid those out. That's about it. Anything else to add to that, Lisa?
No, that's correct. So the HVAC came in for the high school only, and that's the one Dr. Dionisio referenced that's going to be in the resolution, and that was under budget. And like you just said, the HBW and the elementary schools, no bids came in at all, so that's going to get rebid. So hopefully something will come in on that. But, yeah, that was it on buildings and grounds. We covered that. And then does anybody have any questions or comments on the buildings and grounds report? If not, we're going to move to community resources. And again, that's Mrs. Prisco and Mrs. Drappi.
Yeah, so we met with Dr. D'Anicio and I and Sarah met, Mrs. Drappi. And same thing that was just mentioned regarding the bids. So the bids on April 9th was for the high school, and that came in under budget, so that's great. Unfortunately, there was no bid for HB or the elementary, so that's going out to rebid on May 1st, I believe, is the date for that. So that was discussed, and Dr. D'Anicio had mentioned that there was some reasons the other companies may have not bid was because some of the reduced staffing because of COVID, and so that could have eliminated some of them going out to bid. So hopefully on May 1st, we will get some bids for the elementaries and HBW for the HVAC systems. And other than that, Dr. D'Anicio did the update on the budget, which we discussed. And Sarah, is there anything else?
No, that was it. Oh, the only other thing that we discussed was that there's really no update with the summer program schedule because we are just waiting from the state at this point. We're at the mercy of the state. So that's it.
I'm going to ask here, Dr. D'Anicio, maybe you could shed a little light for the public. So if no bids came in and we're going to rebid it, what's the next step should no bids come in again?
That's a great question. Can everybody hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So we have made plans to advertise a rebid for HBW and all four elementary schools for the HVAC, heating, ventilation, and air conditioning, question from the referendum. If there are a couple things that could happen on May 1st when we open the bids, assuming we get them. So if we open bids and we have a low bid that's on or below budget, then as long as all of the paperwork sorts itself out with our board council, then we would look to award that contract. If we receive bids and they're above budget, then we can't spend more money than we have, so we would have to deny those bids. And the third option would be that we may not receive any bids at all, similar to what we just had. And we're rebidding this now because we really want to make sure that we try to get as many companies interested in bidding. And the whole COVID situation is definitely posing an issue for some of these companies right now. And we know that because we've heard that feedback through our architects and companies that were initially interested, and now there's a little bit of a challenge for them. But if we have no companies that bid, then that allows us to then negotiate with companies, contracting companies for HVAC directly. So that would be the next step. Now, naturally, it all has to still be within our budget, and the scope of the work has to remain fairly consistent with what we've outlined. So there cannot be huge deviations in the scope of work. So it's a wait and see.
Great.
Right now. We're going to rebid it and see what happens on May 1st, and then we can apprise the board thereafter and the public as well.
Thank you for clarifying next steps. Does anybody have any questions on community resources? And if not, the last committee is finance, which was myself, Mr. Allworth, and Mr. Turner. Dr. D'Anicio was unable to make that call, so Mr. Turner was gracious enough to fill us in with that. Tim, do you want to pick that one up?
Sure. As each committee goes, there's less and less for me to talk about because everything's pretty much
yes,
been covered. Yeah. Yeah, I think just about every item I had was covered. The preliminary budget was approved by the county super. And, you know, we all think it's a pretty solid budget, and there's good justification for everything that's in there. We're still moving ahead with all the referendum items and all the bids. We discussed the HVAC and some of the reasons why we might have not gotten those bids. Like Ms. Prisco had said, a lot of, you know, COVID-related issues with staffing and getting materials and all of that stuff. So we're hoping May 1st we can get some bids. If not, we will negotiate. And then we have all of the open bids coming up that that Mr. Day mentioned. So, and then we have the budget presentation at our next meeting. So that was pretty much what we discussed.
Yeah, the only thing that I'm going to add to that, and Mr. Turner brought it up, so I want to give a shout-out to Mr. Matt Larracy. So Mr. Turner has been in contact with Matt Larracy, and there's just like so much cooperation and back and forth that's helping everything continue to run, you know, seamlessly under these circumstances. So I just wanted to say thank you there. Does anybody else have any questions on finance? If not, we're going to open to any discussion items. And I'm just going to start out with the discussion item, really just to recognize Mrs. Pyme on her career in Verona. I got to know her when I was a paraprofessional in HBW, you know, many years ago now. And I just want to congratulate her and thank her for her commitment to the district and all the work that she's done for us. Does anybody else have any discussion items or anything to they wanted to speak on? If not, I am going to call for a vote on the resolutions, and I would need a motion.
Motion.
And a second.
Awesome. I'll second that.
So
I'm sorry. Please identify who it is.
Jim Day motioned.
Motion by Jim Day, second by Mrs. Prisco, to the approval of resolutions number 1 through 7 and the addenda resolutions number 1 through 3. Is there any discussion on any of those?
No.
If not, then we can move ahead with a vote on that.
Mr. Allworth.
Yes.
Mrs. Drappy.
Yes.
Mr. Day.
Hi.
Mrs. Prisco.
Yes.
And Mrs. Freshy.
Aye.
Motion passes.
Excellent. And I'm just scrolling down to see where we're at next. I think that is it. So we can open the meeting now to public comments on any topic at all.
Okay. At this time, I'll engage the Q&A session, and any members of the public can follow the prompts from the operator if they'd like to make a public comment. The directions will be to hit *6 on their keypad on their phone, then followed by the number 1.
Thank you, Dr. Dionisio. There were no comments from the public. So at this point, I am going to ask for a motion to adjourn the meeting.
So moved.
Moved by Jim Day, and I need a second. Second?
I will second it, Pam Prisco.
Pam Prisco, second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 All opposed? So the meeting is adjourned at 8:08 p.m., and the next scheduled public meeting will be held on Tuesday, April 28th, beginning with the confidential session at 6 p.m. Via teleconference, and the public meeting will be at 7 p.m. And if anything changes on teleconference, everybody will get notified on that. So thank you, everybody.
Sounds good. Everybody stay safe.
You too.
Yeah.
Stay
well.
Yes.
Have a nice evening.
Have a great night.
Stay safe.
Thank you.
Good night.